Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. I'm recording on Friday morning, September 16th. These are questions as of September 12th. And as always, thank you for your questions. Let's start with cash and precious metals. A few weeks ago, I sent you an email about an inheritance I was receiving from my aunt and since found out that it's not coming from an IRA and will just be cash. My husband and I listened to Financial Rebellion, where you talked about various ways to stash cash. I have the option to let the gentleman who was handling my aunt's money for the last 35 to 40 years continue working with none, some, or all of the money. He said he builds a portfolio the old-fashioned way, very specific to the person. Also, my thought was eventually put some of the money down on real estate to produce cash flow once the market went back down and softening. So the answer is I have no idea what you should do, because to have a position on what and how you what you do, I'd need to know a huge amount about you and your family and all your other sort of options and assets. So the answer is I have no idea what you should do. If you have someone managing the money who's done a good job and is knowledgeable and where their family relationships, that's always positive. The one thing I would suggest is make sure as you move the money that you, one, you give them plenty of notice when and how you're going to move it so they can position it accordingly. But I don't like to move money until I really know where I want to go. So you need a plan and you need to know where you want to go. I agree the real estate market is softening and at some point there are going to be some real attractive sort of options to invest, including in the location where you are. So that's a location that should financially be in good stead for the next 10 years. Problem is if the World Economic Forum gets its way, none of us will have any assets, so they're going to steal everything. So those are your issues. But I think that what I would do is I would put together a plan of where you want to end up with all your assets and, you know, what I would call, it's not an investment strategy, a war strategy. And then decide, you know, how and when you move it. I put in the links to the show notes too. I would listen to the last two equity overviews, particularly the one we did in the second quarter, and we'll be revising and redoing that for the third quarter. Dear Catherine, I'm so glad you found the information useful. This is on a construction industry collapse in Australia that was very useful. Then you're still looking for a way to understand bond investing. I took a look for to see if I could find good videos or documentaries on how the bond market works. And that, you know, part of the challenge is there's how it works at a micro level to you, the investor. What are bonds? What are the issues you need to understand as an investor? And then there's the sort of covert how the bond market is used to control and sort of financial warfare, which are, it's a wide variety of subjects. But for a good investment introduction, I couldn't find anything. I could find lots of introductions to the bond market, but no good ones. So I would start with the Four Dummies book. There's a new update on bond investing for dummies. And I find those books very good to give you an overall understanding and framework. And so I would read that and come back with more questions. If anyone knows a good video or documentary is a good overview, introduction to the bond market, I'd be happy to review and post if it's good. You had a couple more questions, a comment on who was trading the crypto. Anyway, I'll leave that in the notes for people to read. Take a look at the Bond Investing for Dummies. If you want to understand debt as a weapon of war, I would start by watching The International. And, you know, there's certainly a serious debt entrapment game going on in the world. A great classic example of that was the pump and dump of the housing market that ended in the financial crisis of 2008 to 2012. Anyway, but watch The International to get a sense for the debt entrapment game. I think that's very helpful. Equity overview. Is it now time to send in my paper stock certificates to digitize them? These are stock certificates that I just will never sell, so have kept them at home. Also, I'm in charge of a family member's assets. They are twice faxed and boosted. I have not taken anything. Shall I hand over these accounts to family lawyers to oversee, since it may get dicey for me in the future around finances. I don't want to cause a problem for them. I think now's a good time probably to move if there are wide value differences. I think it would be good to hand those accounts over to a professional who can represent and act for those people. So you want to make sure you get them to a proper, you know, to a good place, but it's probably best to bow out, because these divides can create real problems, is my inclination. I'd have to know a lot more about the details to be sure, but my guess is that's the best way to go. I would be happy to keep paper stock certificates, but you might want to check with the issuers, to the companies related, to make sure there's nothing that could cause your stock certificates to be invalidated for any reason. So I wouldn't digitize unless you need to trade. Question. First of all, thank you for your hard work. Is there any way to use your strategy of confrontation based on bank fraud to get out of abusive HARP loan we signed onto to 2011? Original initiator of loan was Citibank. Of course, it has changed hand 4 times and is presently managed by Select Portfolio Services. I would talk to Marie McDonald. If you go through do a search for Marie McDonald on the homepage, and you'll find lots of interviews we've done with her. But for any mortgage question, particularly one that is as complex as yours, I would definitely seek her out and pay her to just do a consultation with you and figure out what your options are. You need a real pro, and that's what Marie is. I think she's very, very good. Feedback. Hi, Catherine. It occurs to me that Orwell's 1984 has two faces, Big Brother and Emmanuel Goldstein. In reality, maybe there are more like 9 faces corresponding to the mind space system that is used to reduce vaccine hesitancy. It would be way too complicated a novel to write, but it wouldn't be hard to implement with the help of technology and propaganda. Thanks for your work. So I don't know Emmanuel Goldstein, but this is an interesting looking system. The messenger, the incentivizer, normalizer, default provider, the salience provider, the primer, the effector, the committer, the ego symbolizer. Looks like more of this nudge theory thing. The investment in behavioral manipulation is just astonishing. Okay, hello, Catherine. I want to make the suggestion you interviewed Dr. David Martin. When I first saw Dr. David Martin, he was doing a big video on patents, and I asked a patent expert what they, because I'm not a patent expert. So I sent it to a patent expert who's very knowledgeable, and I said, you know, do you think this guy is on the up and up? And they're, I won't use the exact words, but they basically said, they used a swear word, which is not like them. They said, basically, the guy's full of horse pucky. Whenever he's gone into issues that I know about, you know, it hasn't necessarily been, I would not describe it as first rate. So no, I'm not going to have Dr. David Martin on, because I just don't think, when it comes particularly to the areas I know about, I just don't think he's the best person I can put forward in that area. Catherine, how can I confirm if this is true? I go to congress.gov to see bills being introduced, but I don't know what to do about executive orders. The executive orders are all at the White House. They're published and you can read them all. What I would just do is go to the White House website and do a search for executive orders, or if you have the number for the executive order, I would do it. You know, I have to tell you that, in my opinion, Jim Rickards is not a reliable source. And whenever I get one of these fear porn messages and it's got Rickards on it, I won't even run it down. It's just not a good use of your time, in my opinion. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for the amount of information we have learned from you, even though we have to pay for it. Just kidding. One thing you need to understand, if we're going to have a revolution, it has to be for profit. Because if the revolution can't pay its expenses, it won't happen. And I have a wonderful team of wonderful people, and I try to make sure they get paid a living wage. And I have no apologies for that. So you continue. So last week I sent you a question. Okay, so you've asked repeated questions about whether or not this is a good plan to start a chicken farm, and the answer is I have no idea. So if you look at what it takes to start a successful business, there's a huge amount involved, and again, the knowledge and experience of the people, as well as whether or not the business makes sense, the business plan makes sense, and whether or not, you can get to a cash flow situation quickly enough. I have no idea. I have no idea. What I will say is if you can do it in the real world, you can do it on paper first. And so I would, and so then you ask me if this fellow you found is experienced and trustworthy. I have no idea. I haven't done a security check on him. I haven't met him. I haven't interviewed him. I have no idea who he is. So, I don't even know his name. I can't even do a search on him. I have no idea. So, I can certainly make comments on the process of making sure somebody's experienced and trustworthy, but I have no idea. Anyway, hi, Catherine. I've watched the Financial Rebellion too, and learned I can ask a 501c3 to show their tax filings for the previous years. Can you show me or ask Carolyn the actual law that allows this? I would prefer to read it from some official sources from the government. I try to search but cannot really find anything. So I did a general search and found the link on the IRS webpage where they describe the requirement for them to provide their tax returns. In the show notes, I put a link to the page at the IRS as well as sort of the text at that page, what it says. There are plenty of other links. And I must say, I've always found reading those documents very informative. Next one, while listening to today's Money and Markets, I was surprised at the way you and John characterized Robert Malone and mass formation psychosis. There's a I won't read the whole thing. There are a couple issues, questions on mass formation and Malone's mass formation was created by Desmond, and then Malone added psychosis. So what I just said was, see, Peter Bregan has now done a significant number of book review. Well, he did a book review on Desmond's book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism and Mass Formation. He's done a lot of articles and interviews, both regarding Desmond, but then really the addition of psychosis by Malone. I also added a new link of people with questions for Malone that might be of interest. Anyway, Bregan's, if you go to Peter Bregan's website, he's put up a page just where he collects all his stuff on this issue. I did write the other day something about what I call the pivot issue, and I put that in the script notes. It's about how freedom movements are pivoted and sent back into establishment control, and I described that's one of the concerns here. Here's a couple of key issues. What we really need is we need to exit the WHO and any other central controls on national sovereign national health policies. We need to reform the healthcare regulatory structures and prosecute big pharma. We need to outlaw mRNA gene therapy. We need to kill the vaccine schedule permanently. We need full disclosure of all pharmaceutical, including these kinds of injections, ingredients, past and present, in understandable language. So there's great secrecy about what's really in this stuff. We need to require financial and resource impacts in informed consent, in understandable language. And all of this, of course, is going to require addressing the central banking model, because as long as you can have a small group of private people print money and buy everybody, it's going to happen again. So ultimately, the problems in healthcare are just a symptom of the central banking. I think the important issue in all of this is that there is a broad-based, institutionalized, big money effort to weaponize mental health. And it's happening in the line psychology and psychiatric areas, and it's being supported by these behavioral unit groups and committees in government and government agencies. So this is a big effort. And if you can't put people away as domestic terrorism, you're going to try and put them away on mental health, and also use mental health to protect many people from prosecution. So This is a much bigger, broader issue, and I think what's important is that we understand the weaponization of mental health, number one. Number two, we not fall into the trap. If you're getting a Medicare or any kind of annual checkup and somebody starts asking you all sorts of questions about mental health, tell them to go jump in the lake. You're there for a physical. But obviously do it very graciously, because you don't want that to be an excuse to say you're mentally ill. Whenever anybody asks me if I'm depressed, I say, no, I'm doing a remarkable job of keeping my state of amusement. Dear Catherine, I've been listening to Money and Markets for about 6 months. Okay, so this is a wonderful subscriber who sent a serious criticism of John and my criticism of Malone. And so I started to share, I ended up having a real dialogue with him, because occasionally you get these situations where that dialogue can really help you get to the bottom of things and understand better. And they were very generous with their time and patience. So we went back and forth, but I included my first response. Anyway, if you're interested in the whole Malone Desmond thing, you may find it of interest. Health and food. This question isn't really appropriate for Ask Catherine, but I don't know who else to ask. I've been hired by a high school in Tennessee and wonder if you could recommend sane nurse practitioner in the area. So I sent you several suggestions, and I hope that helps. But I think the idea of seeing a sane nurse practitioner is a great way to go. You know, don't underestimate the benefits of seeing nurse practitioners instead of doctors. Hi, Catherine. Is there any way you can consider creating groups for slayer circles such as radio communication, phone, computer security? Have at it. That's why we created subscriber input, to do all the functional stuff. So I put the link in the show notes. Go over to subscriber input and you can create lots and lots of topic-based discussions and link them up from Connect. Lots of recommended links coming in. The first one of Toby Rogers, Meryl Nass, Brian Hooker, and Polly Tommy at CHDTV about the California bill that basically criminalizes informed consent. It's amazing. You have to leave California. It's not safe. It's just not safe. Now, I know lots of people who refuse to leave California, but if you look at what the laws are doing, it's really scary. Hi, Catherine. You mentioned behavioral science and nudge tactics. There's been quite a bit of coverage of Downing Street's nudge unit, in case you didn't know. Originally set up by Cameron around 2015, and there's a link here, and an uproar from some MPs about it this year because of its coercive role in the shenanigans. I really appreciate that. I'm going to try, and I know where I'm in talks with the team about how to handle the mental health nudge question. You know, should we create a special database? I don't know. Let's see. But please keep sending all your nudge links in. I really want to understand this issue better, and I appreciate your support in helping us do that. There's a right to repair effort in U.S. and EU fighting an uphill battle. Yeah, that's important. We touched on it in Money and Markets, but I'd like to say more about that. Then a link to Ed Dowd, who I like very much. I disagree with him on the collapse scenario, but he's kind of new to the black budget side of the house. But I really enjoy a lot of his commentary. Thank you for that. They think they can push us down. The price of energy is how you will end up with an electric car, never mind the limited rain. Socrates, that's Martin Armstrong's black box, says U.S. will split. There is a major effort to split up the country that's going on, and it's very important for your planning that you be prepared to handle that. So, and of course, all federal funds, God knows how they'll work in that case. Then somebody used a Snowden smartphone. I just finished trying a Fairphone. I hated it. So I'm still on the lookout for a phone. So I really appreciate your report. Then somebody sent in a link on one of the Bregan's pieces on Dr. Malone. The important thing to understand, and this is why Peter is so focused, one of the reasons Peter's focused on the predators, crime that pays is crime that stays. If you can set it up so that by a variety of mechanisms, all the perpetrators skate except for a couple of noticeable chew toys like Fauci, then the message to the establishment is, see, you know, crime is a great business model. It works. Okay, next comment. I can't speak for the US, but in Europe, the air is ranked with what Joseph Farrell calls Nazi International. Then there's a link to an interview, a letter that Santa Dupuy wrote about Vera getting spiked in the local media in Nuremberg, which we had already posted. This one about Desmond failing to report a mass murder, and it's a very interesting case. I've tried to look into it a little bit more, but it's astonishing because here you have a serial killer who has killed 20 to 50 people, and Desmond doesn't report him, although from what I can tell from the reports, he's still counseling end of life at a local hospital. So there's no warning to the hospital that they may not want this guy to be counseling people. It's astonishing. Or that the families might not want to know the truth of what happened to their loved ones. So Desmond's failure to report this, and I've talked to different people who are psychologists and psychiatrists, and they say this is shocking. It also appears C.J. Hopkins reported in his most recent one, article on mass formation in Desmond, that apparently this issue on surgery and hypnosis, he's lied before. So a couple times now he's promoted this and then had to back off and say he was exaggerating, and apparently did it a couple years ago and now just did it again. And in CJ's thing, it's really funny what he writes. Anyway, so you point out that Desmond was on InfoWars and Highwire. Yeah, he was in the U.S. for a book tour. Anyway, so as I said, CJ has written two pieces recently, and John Rappaport has written another one. He had written one a little bit ago, and I think if you're interested in this discussion, you might want to check them out at Consent Factory, CJ's website, and No More Fake News. Then a link to William Engdahl's latest piece on the Europe's energy Armageddon. Some links from Giza Death Star. There's a supposed confidential RAND report bopping around. From looking at it, I'm skeptical as to whether it's real or not. So I would take that with a grain of salt. A very interesting piece from Douglas Rushkoff on the super rich preppers. And I really appreciate your sending that. It's from The Guardian. And I've always found Rushkoff to be quite interesting and have interesting insights. Here's what he writes. So these are about super wealthy preppers doing these super amazing bunkers. What I came to realize was these men are actually the losers. The billionaires who called me out to the desert to evaluate their bunker strategies are not the victors of the economic game so much as the victims of its perversely limited rules. More than anything, they have succumbed to a mindset where winning means earning enough money to insulate themselves from the damage they are creating by earning money in that way. It's as if they want to build a car that goes fast enough to escape from its own exhaust. Yet this Silicon Valley escapism, let's call it the mindset, encourages its adherents to believe that the winners can somehow leave the rest of us behind. Never before has a society's most powerful players assumed that the primary impact of their own conquest would be to render the world itself unlivable for everyone else. Nor have they ever before had the technologies through which to program their sensibilities into the very fabric of our society. The landscape is alive with algorithms and intelligences actively encourage these selfish and isolationist outlooks. Those sociopathic enough to embrace them are rewarded with cash and control over the rest of us. It's a self-reinforcing feedback loop. This is new. Great description. That's why I left Washington in 1998. I didn't want to be a part of it. But I think Rushkoff has done a really good job here. And you pointed out he's expanded this into a book. So I have to go take a look at some more Rushkoff. And then you published, you sent in a link to John Plant's Primitive Technology. I just went to try and buy it and then got a super duper, you know, one of those checks that takes 20 minutes to process before I can use my online payment. Anyway, so then there's a disaster emergency from the New York governor over polio. Oh, God. If you haven't read Forrest Moretti's book on the polio injection fraud, it's really good. I recommend the movie Don't Look Up on Netflix. This is a satire of our culture and politics. The writers meant it to be about climate change, but I see it as the COVID psyop as well as WEF and globalization. Thanks for that. I will check it out. We're always on the lookout for great movies for Let's Go to the Movies, and I have to say that the selection is getting thinner and thinner. Next comment. This is not bogus in me and my husband's opinion. This is exactly how it is on the inside. I always thought so much was garbage. Okay, so this is a link, I think, to Dr. Lee Merritt, but unfortunately, her recent interviews with this doctor or this researcher named Wog, I would be very careful of. I'm not that familiar with Dr. Merritt's work. She seems to be quite competent, but these interviews with Wog are dreadful, in my opinion. Then someone sent in the link for the interview with Bregan and Alex Jones and Christy Lee, who's a host on Alex Jones, and then one with Rents as well. I haven't listened to one with Rents, but I thought the one with Christy Lee was quite useful. Bregan's did a good job of sort of pushing back against the weaponization of mental health. And then the next one was someone sent in John Rappaport's link, the one I was referring to his last piece on Desmond mass formation. Anyway, that's Rappaport's latest. So a lot of back and forth on the mass formation and Malone questions, and I would just really make sure we focus on this much deeper, much more broader based effort to weaponize mental health. So there are two efforts really underway. One is domestic terrorism, various efforts to keep making the control grid more invasive. So, example being the effort in California to control your doctors, just more ways of controlling. But then the second is this weaponization of mental health. So, keep those both in mind in terms of your navigating the gauntlet so that you don't get caught in one of those traps. Anyway, so those are the links offered this week. Thank you again. I'm on the look for any links on the application of nudge behavior BS and the weaponization of mental health, and I really appreciate all you've done to make us smart on that topic. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your questions. Don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, you need to start one. And it's never too late. It's never too late to start one. It's never too late to get great at conspiracies. And just remember, conspiracies can be ethical and legal. Many of the ones the establishment trained me in were highly legal and highly ethical, but we did have to sneak around because the world was full of predators. Anyway, that's it. Again, Friday, September 16th. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you and Ask Catherine next week. If your questions didn't get picked up this week, look for them to be there next week. Anyway, again, have a great evening.